Hi and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Dan
and Lee.
Without Chris this week because he's preparing for some gigs that his band's got over TT.
And speaking of TT week, if you do hear any motorcycles going past in the background, we apologise for that.
It's kind of what the Isle of Man sounds like for 2 weeks of the year anyway.
And this is definitely not the third take we've done of this.
No, it isn't. Talking of things that didn't quite go right, it turns out the Lewis pit call in Monaco was from him, not the team. And Mercedes were innocent.
Gosh.
Ish.
Well, shall we read out the transcript for anyone who is not yet aware of it?
Yeah, we had Peter Bonington on the radio to Lewis saying, safety car, so we're staying out. Lewis replied, are you sure it's the best thing to stay out? These tyres have lost all the temperature. Everyone's going to be on super softs now.
Man.
Without a man. He was happy at the time. Peter Bonington, okay, copy. Box. So it looks like some of the decision came from Lewis, so I think he could have been mad at himself.
I think so, yeah. Though I do think that the team should have been aware that boxing him was not the right call in that situation.
It was borderline between the virtual safety car and the actual safety car, as we said last week, but they didn't take everything into account.
Do you think there's an argument to be had that because Lewis has already questioned the order, they had to bring him in because if they'd lost the race, let's say Vettel did pit and whizzed past Rosberg and Hamilton and Ferrari won the race. If they lost the race because they questioned their driver's input on strategy,
then we would be here criticising the...
Why didn't they listen to Lewis?
Yeah. I guess it just proves one thing. Mercedes are actually human.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which has come as a great surprise to most of us.
Well, they're not McLaren.
We know that. While we're on the subject of Mercedes, Bernie's made a few comments. Nico Rosberg isn't as good for Formula One as Lewis because he doesn't sell the sport as much.
Yeah, and apparently he needs a sprinkler system as well.
Is he making sense, or is this the ramblings of an old fruit bat again?
I think it's someone getting Formula One into the news again.
He's good at doing that, but can he do it for the right reasons for a change?
He does love Lewis. You know, there's certain drivers that he goes through phases with. It was Vettel before, wasn't it?
He loves Lewis now, but if you remember, when it was Lewis versus Massa for the championship, it was Massa who should have won.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, at the time, Bernie was Ferrari all the way, because every time that Brundle used to catch up with him on a grid walk and he'd say, who do you want to win, or who do you think's going to win, and it was always, oh, anyone as long as it's a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Now it seems to be that he's switched away from Ferrari. Maybe he's not as big a fan of Arriva Bene.
Possibly. I think he looks for what... He's almost like a bad wrestling promoter for anyone that watches like pro wrestling. He has it in his head how things should be, and that's the way he pushes things, regardless of what feedback comes from fans.
I kind of see what you mean with that. So,
and I think fans do have, or have in the past, had problems with Rosberg. So that does go with his argument. But
yeah, but fans had, I'd say, a bigger problem
with Schumacher.
Certainly Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel. With the Mark Webber incident, I think the backlash on Vettel there was bigger than what happened with Rosberg and Hamilton. And although I know Lewis is sort of a very popular driver and he's got lots and lots of fans out there, I'd say for every Lewis Hamilton fan, there's somebody else that doesn't like Lewis because of the way he carries himself. So I don't think it's not that Schumacher level of like fanhood, is it?
No.
I mean the Schumacher levels of fanhood and anti-fanhood hatred were absolutely massive. I mean, going back a few years when there used to be advert breaks during the race on British TV, I'd actually put the German coverage on, and for the last 20 or so laps of the race, they would have the world feed of what was going on the main events on track. But in the bottom corner of the screen, there'd be Shumi cam, and it would just focus on Michael's car all the way round. I found that really hard to believe and really strange. Because, I mean, you never got a British TV channel doing that when there was a successful British driver.
We're bad for this, though, as far as promoting... British sportsmen, certainly British Formula One drivers. Silly things like when I was in Germany recently, I noticed on the Sky Germany coverage, you know, when you've got the football results on and it'll come up with an advert for the race and stuff, everyone's name was in white. But when it came to the championship and stuff like that, or grid positions, the Germans were in yellow. And I thought that was a really good thing, you know, to try and provoke national interest.
Yeah, it's a little thing, though. I mean, I think it was Bill Bailey that said it. As Brits, we expect disappointment.
And strive for mediocrity.
Yeah. Interesting you say striving for mediocrity, Lee. Manor have got some new staff.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've got ones that send out emails. Hi, Manor. You still want the name on the car? They've updated
if you don't watch it, I'm going to come and write it on you while you're going around the track.
you'd have to walk slowly. They've got some new backroom staff. Dan, you've got the list of what they've got.
And I can read my handwriting as well, yes.
Your handwriting as well.
Bob Bell, ex of Mercedes. They've got Luca Fabato, ex of Toro Rosso, and Gianluca Pisanello, ex of Caterham. So, do we think this means a bit more money, a bit more staff, a bit of a turnaround for Manor?
We can only hope, because, I mean, a team that's three or four laps off the pace at Monaco, the slowest track on the calendar, they've got to do something, and they've got to do something quick.
At least it shows investment.
That's true. I mean, that is a good thing, because they are desperately short of it. And we don't want to see any team go out of business.
No.
Because we want to see the grid as big as possible. And let's face it, Manor need to be there because they've got to give Haas some kind of competition when they come in next season. Hiya, Rich. the fact that they're actually building up the technical side of things and with the new car that they're hoping to get in for later on this season... are we going to see them competing for 15th place by the time we get to the back end of the season?
No. That I would love to see that.
I'd like to see it, because I'm not anti-Manor. I'm anti-Manor in the state it is. You know, if I could consider them a proper team in Formula One with a competitive car that was with the rest of them, then that's fine.
Wasn't going around at GP3 speeds.
Yeah. I can't see anything going on this year, because it wouldn't be worth it for them. It's now worth it because they're there anyway. It would be more worth it to have a rubbish season this year if they get a new personnel in.
Focus on 2016
for next year. Yeah,
but do you think it's actually worth throwing a bit of money into the car, just seeing if there's a race with a massive attrition rate while they're crawling around at the back, snatching a point, getting a 10th place, and then all of a sudden that's a chunk added to their budget.
That race has been and gone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But you say a massive attrition rate, you wouldn't like where they are now. I mean, I know you had the Monaco thing the other year, but Monaco's a strange thing. So at a normal circuit, it's not a massive attrition rate you need. It's a biblical style disaster for them.
It's an Indianapolis tire war type disaster.
It's a Red Sea and the parting of it.
So we don't think Manor are actually going to prove anything this year, but at least it shows that we are going to have a full complement of teams next year, and we're not going to lose anyone else.
It shows they're still moving. It's less scary than the lack of updates we see from Sauber and the likes.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, we've not heard anything new about Force India doing bringing anything in.
No, apart from the fact that they've complained about customer cars now.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're not going to be one of the teams that goes and tries to put in an offer?
I just
because we did think that last week.
Yeah, but well, they were talking about it towards the beginning of the season, where the customer cars were very forward. I've come to the conclusion now that all Force India do is that they're that mate that disagrees with you, even when you've agreed with them.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. So they're not into the idea of customer teams now, which I find quite strange.
So, well, Force India seem to be alone to themselves with everything on the car being practically Malia related, apart from Sahara.
Mm.
And, well, prove yourselves, do something.
Yeah.
We're getting a bit contentious this week, aren't we? What we got next?
Canada.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. There is a Grand Prix this weekend. Too busy watching bikes, or waiting for the rain to stop so we can see some bikes. Canadian Grand Prix this weekend. Usually can be a good race.
Yeah, quite often fantastic.
Yeah. Of course, who can forget the classic race where the World of Champions got its name, where everyone got wiped out. Sadly, I don't think it's going to come into play this year because the cars are a little bit slower, so that last chicane's going to be a lot easier to take.
Mm-hmm. Although they've got the big nasty curbs on them now, haven't they?
They have. I mean, the finish of last year's with cars ending up in bits, crossing the line, that was interesting, shall we say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got some new engine upgrades coming in.
We have. According to Lotus, Mercedes are bringing an upgraded engine. That is the Mercedes engine rather than the Mercedes team.
Yeah.
Ferrari have been spending their engine tokens, and so have Honda for McLaren.
I think Honda sort of trying to build on the success they've got with the first points of the season. Are they going to get Alonso's cooling issues sorted out? Because that seems to be his main problem.
You have to hope so, but given that the same thing has happened in the last two races, have they got a handle on it?
I don't know what the token situation is. I know you looked at it before. They had 7 tokens going into this year, didn't they?
Honda. Yeah, it was either 7 or 9. They've used 2.
Right, they might have 7 now then.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. I realise it's all comparable because it's what everyone else has got too. But when you consider the work Honda have got ahead of them, they must be sure that these changes are going to bring some real performance jumps. Otherwise, they wouldn't risk using the tokens.
Don't forget, they have been using the engine not at 100% power.
Yeah.
So, with the upgrades that they brought in, perhaps dialing the engine up a notch as well.
Yeah.
Because using the tokens to fix things that have been causing the reliability issues.
Yeah.
So, it could, in effect, be a double jump for them. We could actually see, I won't say a fully powered Honda engine, but a better powered Honda engine with components in the powertrain that work better and are more reliable.
Though a couple of races back, Jenson Button was complaining about the understeer and the oversteer and how undrivable the car was, which isn't an engine issue.
He then came out, I don't know if he was instructed to or did it himself, and said he might have exaggerated a little bit.
Right, so I wonder how that came about.
Yeah, probably Eric Boulier said he'll steal all of his cakes unless he tells the truth or something. But what are we thinking for Canada? Because, I mean, it's a high-speed circuit.
But it's twisty and it's with lots of low-speed corners. And McLaren's not too bad around low speed.
I've been saying for several races that I'm expecting them to get into just be nudging the top 10.
I hope so.
I think I'm going to stick with that.
Q3?
I think there's a good chance.
Q2.
Q3. I think there's a very good chance they'll be in.
There's a damn good chance of Q2, and I think there's a chance of Q3.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but it's going to depend on what other teams do and how other teams are in qualifying.
Mm.
Obviously, the Mercedes teams are going to have a little bit of an advantage with the...
Given our previous predictions, doesn't this mean they're going to get pole and win the race by 30 seconds?
Yeah, probably.
Apart from mine.
Apart from your... We'll get to this week later.
Only reason here.
He gets one thing right and we can't get rid of him. The fact that we're recording this in his living room, that's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I am literally the Pastor Maldonado of the team.
In that case, I predict you're going to be making another coffee soon.
All right.
But it's going to play into the hands of the Mercedes engines just because of that long straight. That is where they are going to be gaining some time. Aero's important for the first part because there's a lot of grip needed. And then you've got the hairpin, which always seems to cause problems for some drivers.
Well, if there's a lot of grip needed, does that mean that tyre management's going to come into it, which is an area where Ferrari tend to be stronger than Mercedes?
Than Mercedes.
We can also look at the brake issues that Mercedes have been having, because
that's cropped up a couple of times.
They were marginal in they weren't marginal, but they had troubles in Monaco, and Lewis Hamilton managed to get his temperature down, if you remember, at one point.
Yeah.
But by saying, "I can't drive much slower than this," while he was doing it, and it's got to be the worst track on the calendar, hasn't it, for brakes?
Yeah, because I mean, you've got the high speed section coming into the hairpin, and then you've got the chicane leading onto the start finish straight,
yeah,
which are both heavy braking areas. Are we saying it's going to be the most open race we've seen this season? Then
I wouldn't go that far.
The least closed race we've seen this season.
I still think Ferrari will surprise with the upgrades they've got, because I know we're going to talk about later on about the budget caps and money in teams and stuff like that. But when we were looking before, the budget was at 200 million for Ferrari.
Yeah.
Now, that's the budget they start the season with. I dread to think what extra is going into development now.
Well, it was 200 million at the start of the season, and then they funneled another 45 million in, because Williams said what Ferrari have put in extra is our entire budget for the season.
I wouldn't be surprised if they've already done their 200 million already.
I think that's just on the coffee machine.
Ah, of course.
They're Italian, they've got to have nice coffee.
Of course they do.
It is important.
It is important. We all miss the days of everyone complimenting Minardi on how good their coffee was. Never got to try it, but I must find out what brand of espresso machines they used. Well, while we're on the subject of predictions for Canada, what do we think we're going to see from Manor? I hate to ask this question, but how many laps down are they going to be?
I'm going to be incredibly optimistic and say 3.
Lee?
5?
I'm going to go in the middle in that case and say 4. They are going to be some laps down. And while we're on the bad predictions, we are running the Pasta Disaster Predictor this week. As Chris isn't here, we're going to do what we did last time. We're going to email them all to Lee. He's not going to look at the emails. And he will do the big reveal on next week's show, which I believe Dan will be joining us live via satellite, as he's away on business next week.
If technology permits, yes.
Bearing in mind there's two of us that work for IT companies, so if technology doesn't permit, we'll just get two tin cans and a very long bit of string.
We'll turn it off and on again, it'll be fine.
That always works.
As the pasta predictor is now my favourite thing in the entire world.
The only thing that he's got right.
Yeah, if anyone wants to tweet us and give us theirs, we need a lap and a turn.
So yeah, if you want to join in with the pasta disaster predictor, please feel free to tweet us at 3Legs4Wheels. Now, we can't mention the Canadian Grand Prix without mentioning Canada's most famous and successful F1 driver of recent years, Monsieur Jacques Villeneuve. The BBC website pointed out today that a few years ago he released an album,
which I believe has been described as a genre defining,
possibly by one of those 863 people that actually bought it.
Yeah. If they paid actual money for it. Well, actually, we're being unfair. We should have a listen to it and we shouldn't prejudge.
So we present to you a little bit of Jacques Villeneuve's track "Fooling Around."
Say it, baby, because you know it's just not true. Don't say it, baby. Well, you know it's up to you. Don't say it, darling, 'cause you're just wasting time. Don't say it, baby, as you know this ain't my crime. Don't say it, baby, you know I don't like that sound. I know that you're just fooling around. Don't say it, baby, you know you drive me crazy. Don't say it, baby, if your words don't mean a thing. Don't and say it, darling, 'cause you know I'm not your fallen angel. Don't say it, baby, there's nothing left to say, say, say. Don't say it, baby, you know I don't like that sound. I know that you're just a fooling around. So tell me, what else can I do if I can't hold on without you? What else can I be?
Right, what do you think to that then? Lately, wake up.
It burns.
I remember once Eddie Irvine said he was every bit as good a driver as Michael Schumacher. That was as much shit as that was.
Jack, seriously, stick to owning restaurants and not having your name on games and never, ever, ever pick up a guitar again.
The only good thing is, though, with so few copies sold, now us and our listeners were part of a very elite group.
Is it a good group to be in?
Not really.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
Now, in other news, Max Mosley's cropped up again, and he has said that the pay that Formula One drivers get is absurd.
Personally, I think running around dressed...
Don't say it, baby.
...parties is absurd, but each to their own, I suppose.
Incoming libel suit alert.
That'll get sorted in the edit. I mean, do they get paid too much? You get this debate with everyone in sports all the time. Are footballers paid too much? Are American footballers paid too much? Are baseball players paid too much? And the answer to that is yes, 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 and yes. Yeah. I think I got too many yeses in there, but...
But we can add another sport.
But we can add another sport in there. Yeah, whatever sport, they get paid too much as well. Yes, basketball.
I think this is all part of the idea of wanting to create budget caps for the... or wanting to reduce the spend that teams make on Formula One. And we were mentioning earlier, Ferrari's up to something like $246 million this year. McLaren Honda this year have spent around $200 million.
Is that pounds or dollars?
That is pounds, I believe. And then back in 2008, you had Toyota spending a whopping $445.6 million.
That podium was worth every penny.
Oh, yeah. Timo Glock got the most out of that.
Absolutely.
So
I just realised you benefited more from that $200 million. Lewis Hamilton.
In what way?
He got the world championship because of it. Well, if Timo Glock hadn't been on track in a Toyota, he wouldn't have won the world championship.
When you put it like that, yeah. So Toyota spent $446 million to give Lewis a world championship for a completely different team.
Well, let's face it, it's easily worth $100 million to him this year.
But when you look at the at some of the money that the drivers are on, how much of that is actually coming from the teams and how much of that is coming from the sponsors to promote the brand? And, for example, could Santander have spent some of the sponsorship money on acting lessons for Jensen when he was in their adverts?
I think they could have done.
Yeah, they certainly didn't spend anything on Rory McIlroy.
£7 or £8 would have seen a vast improvement.
0.6 of a pound. But yeah, is that money coming in from the sponsors? And is it a case of, if the sponsors want to throw money into the sport to back certain teams, then they're going to do that anyway? And it's just going to, the whole budget cap, salary cap issue, it's going to be blown apart, because then you'll get drivers being paid $1-2 million a year by the teams, and then they will have a personal sponsorship contract to be corporate spokespeople for...
Which I believe they do as well.
Yeah. Which...
Hence the empty overalls on the Force India drivers.
And the Manor drivers.
Well, yeah, it's just empty, isn't it?
And they could have lovely three legs, four wheels badges there.
They really could. There is plenty of room for that.
Does that mean it's like Sesame Street Manor? And so at the end of every race, his manor was brought to you by the colour red and white.
But is a budget cap including driver salaries possible? Because I just don't think it is.
Well, anything's possible.
Anything's possible, but is it possible to enforce rigidly?
No.
No, and Formula One teams are fairly creative at finding the edge cases of rules where they can do what they wanted to do anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if they can find ways around the aerodynamic regulations, they can find ways around the financial regulations.
Absolutely.
So, I just honestly don't think we are ever going to see a budget cap there, and it's never going to be the level playing field that certain people want. And, to be honest, would it be as good if it was? Would it make it...
I think we always want a more level playing field, don't we? We want the backmarkers closer to the leaders. We don't want the leaders disappearing off into the sunset. And the fact that as you win, you get more prize money, you become more valuable, you get more sponsorship coming in, it does mean that you've got a virtuous circle for the leaders.
Yeah.
So in some ways, yeah, we want some kind of budget cap, but putting rules in like...
But look at Red Bull. I mean, they were a joke when the team first started off, and they've invested in their team, and they built their team up to where they won 4 Constructors' World Championships.
And then the rules changed.
Then the rules changed. But they made it profitable for themselves. You know, they made Formula One good value for themselves.
Yeah.
But like any business venture, they had to invest in it first.
Mm. I think the attitude today in business and definitely in sport is it's got to be instant success, otherwise it's a failure.
Yeah.
There's no building up.
The other thing is, everyone can't win.
No. Somebody's got to come second. Somebody's got to come last.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it in every form of sport. Football managers getting sacked after 6 months because they haven't won every match immediately. American football head coaches getting binned after a season because the team that finished last year hasn't improved enough to beat another 31 teams and win the Super Bowl. It's just not possible. And investors are just wanting too much of a quick return. And Formula One, as in everything with technology, you've got to be in it for the long game. You can't demand it's got to work straight away, because it just doesn't happen. It's not feasible. It's not possible.
Can't argue with that. How does that fit into the budget cap thing?
This is where it doesn't. Because to improve on a team, you're going to have to spend the money. And to have a budget cap where every team is limited to a certain amount, you've then got to rewrite the rule book from the beginning, scratch everything that you've done before, get rid of all knowledge, wipe out all the teams, and start again from absolutely nothing.
Kind of like what you just did, what you said.
Pretty much, yeah. Hey, I've got a good reverse strategy. I have to use it every time I play Project Cars when I'm facing the wrong way.
I think the other thing to think about as well with driver salaries, to get back on what we were talking about before.
Oh yeah.
It's easy just to think. I mean, what do they reckon Lewis Hamilton's getting? Is it something like 100 million or something?
So it's some ridiculous.
It's around there. So he's a racing driver, so the first thing you think is Lewis Hamilton gets 100 million for driving really fast around circuits. And it's not true.
He gets 100 million for selling mortgages.
Yeah, and he's a good man to have attached to a Mercedes brand, especially with if you've got rumours, for instance, that he's seen a Kardashian now. He was seeing the sugar babe and stuff like that, and he's got that very, for want of a better word, American Mercedes image to himself. He said he will be worth that money in Mercedes car sales alone.
Because, yeah, they are going to make that much more profit from having him. And of course, he doesn't just sell cars, because he sells watches as well. Blackberries. Does anyone still use Blackberries?
Lewis Hamilton.
He's also got a Zune.
Johnny Barlow, friend of the podcast, Johnny B, remains faithful to his BlackBerry. But yeah, he sells products. Effectively, and it's coming back to what Formula One used to be accused of back in the 70s and 80s, where the cars and the drivers are just mobile billboards. But
I think that's what all modern sport is, really,
that
is, isn't
that
it?
That is what all modern sport is, because it's a question of getting seen by the most people. He gets 100 million a year for driving a car, selling watches, selling cars, being seen at the right places, and definitely being associated with a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Drive a Merc, you could have your own Kardashian.
He is definitely a seen at the right place type of guy as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think, was it before Monaco or something? He was at an award ceremony, giving an award to somebody.
He was jetting off all over the place. Yeah. But, you know, it's the whole aspirational lifestyle thing. And if he's a billboard and the advertising that he puts out sells these products, then give him the money for it, because you don't get free advertising anywhere anymore, and if you can make the money back, do it. Bit of capitalism for you there. While we're on the subject of F1 and business, Ron Dennis has been asking Danish businesses this week and hosting a meeting with them to get behind Kevin Magnussen to get him a race seat for next season.
Well, can't Ron Dennis do that?
Well, you'd think, because he's the one who makes the decisions.
So really what Ron Dennis is saying is that they need to get the Danish businesses together to find someone who owns a Formula One team or runs one and ask them nicely if Kevin Magnussen could drive for them.
Yeah, that's actually what it sounds like, closer to anything. I'm not going to do the bringing on the bacon joke. But, yeah, Ron Dennis held a meeting with a lot of prominent Danish businesses. I can think of
one.
Lego and bacon.
Lego and bacon. And said that he could be a future F1 star, although at 22 we all think he's past it.
I know what it is. What's his name? Bloody French. McLaren.
Boullier.
He's only in it for the pastries.
That would have worked if you could have remembered what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. I think it still worked a little bit.
Bit of creative editing, that'll sound smooth as.
Yeah, no, I'm going to leave that one in. What's the secret of comedy timing? the other thing that Ron Dennis said is that Magnussen has matured over the last few months because, in his own words, he's been moping round since he didn't get the race seat. You get the feeling that the McLaren factory has been fairly mopey all season anyway, but
He's gone from thinking I could have been in a race winning team to thinking I could have been in ahead of the manners.
I've just got this image in my head of Kevin Magnussen wandering around the McLaren Design Centre listening to My Chemical Romance, claiming that nobody understands him. But, what are McLaren going to do with Kevin Magnussen? Because obviously they've got Stoffel van Dorn.
Even his name's fast.
And van Dorn is proving himself beyond any shadow of a doubt in GP2.
They also have two world-class drivers who are still in contract.
And they've got two world champions in the race cars. You've got to feel sorry for K-Mag a little bit, because he's been put in a situation where he was a driver last year, he got to drive the first race with Alonso's medical woes. Well, he got to go to the first race.
Yeah. He's been full on Toro Rosso, really, hasn't he?
Yeah. I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been Jean-Éric Vergne.
Yeah.
So
burned to death.
Does this mean we're going to see him in Formula E?
I'd like that.
Well, yeah, you're going to a Formula E race this year, so
two, in fact.
Two. That's going to be very, very quiet. I'm not doing the Elmer Fudd impression again. So, if you're McLaren, what do you do with him?
I don't know. I mean, I know there's people who disagree with me here, but I still thought that...
No, we don't.
Oh, Jesus. I've got for some reason, I've got a screwdriver in my hand, and I'm really happy I've got it in my hand now.
Yeah, because you're pointing the blunt end at me.
Pretty heavy.
Spot the drummer.
And this week's drummer joke is brought to you by...
I don't want to kill him. He's got to stop me being sued in about half an hour's time. I think the whole thing with Kevin Magnussen and Button before, not I'm a Button fan anyway, so what I say doesn't really matter. But I thought it was ridiculous that Button almost lost his seat for Magnussen there, because apart from Australia, he was just cleanly beaten.
I think as a team, you generally want an experienced driver and a driver who's coming up through the ranks.
Yeah, but I don't see Kevin Magnussen as a coming up through the ranks driver. There's better young drivers out there that I'd have in my team before Kevin Magnussen.
I can't disagree that there are better young drivers out there, but he's good, he's competent, and who knows what a year or two's experience would bring.
True.
I wonder if we keep touching on occasionally on who's going to drive for Haas next season. Is he on their radar? He's got Formula One experience. He's got testing experience, and that's what they're going to need. Do we put him on the shortlist?
Has he got enough Formula One experience to consider him what a team like Haas would need as their experienced Formula One driver?
They are going to want American interest.
Yeah.
Oh, Rossi has got that seat. There's no question in my mind. Alexander Rossi is in that car.
He's fast. He's American.
Yeah.
He's got backing.
Yeah, yeah.
No brainer.
Yeah.
Maybe if the Danish businesses do get behind Magnussen, then would it buy his way into the Haas seat?
It's a possibility.
I mean, if they could get, I know, like your man, what's his first name? I've forgotten.
Van Dorn?
No, the guy that owns Pass.
Carl Haas.
Yeah. He said he's not ruled out Darcy Patrick.
Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Coming to Formula One. It wouldn't matter, I don't think, to hit that team from where they are and where they want to be, even if she's competitive. The coup of getting her to come to Formula One and being the first Formula One driver, Formula One driver for years on the grid, would be too big to resist.
It'd definitely get them publicity from the off.
Yeah, Jordan levels of publicity.
That's quite a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that we've got.
I meant the car.
The car, not the. Yeah, no, we don't talk about her. The only other thing that we've really got to talk about that's come up this week, 'cause it's been a bit of a quiet week, has been the Pirelli tyres.
Yes, there have been, I don't know if they're mock-ups or actual prototypes, low-profile Pirelli tyres pictured as a suggestion for next year's Formula One.
Look cool, don't they?
They
look awesome.
They look great. Yeah. If I can find a picture, I'll put it on the website, so Pirelli, we could do with media accreditation as well. Hi, guys.
Will it affect the racing?
Will it affect the racing? That is a good question. We don't know.
So, Pirelli, if you can get in touch and give us a primer on how tyres work.
Yeah, we'd be very grateful of that. But if I can find a picture that we can use of that, we'll put those
they're
on.
They're bigger, aren't they? The dimensions are bigger, they're fatter.
Yeah, I think the... did they say that they were 2 inches? 2 inches bigger in diameter?
No.
Sure. But they look cool, basically.
So that's 2 inches further into another car past the Maldonado's going to be.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Just so we're clear. Right, we'll be back next week with a review of what we've yet to see in Canada. Chris will be joining us again. Dan will hopefully be joining us live via satellite,
if possible.
If possible, if the tin cans work. And we're going to play out with our usual theme tune. We're not going to inflict another Jacques Villeneuve track on you. Or are we? We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.